Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
It's time for another Best of Pigskin Dispatch podcast. And here's what happened in football history on October 12th. The biggest trade in NFL history and the most decorated college player ever are in this edition of the podcast. We have these stories and more coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of the PigskinDispatch.com, and we are here to talk about football's history headlines for October 12th. And this is a big day filled with big events, and we're going to go right to October 12th, 1989, and what could be the most impactful and largest player trade in the history of the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys traded running back Herschel Walker to the Minnesota Vikings for 5 then-current players and 6 draft picks of the future. The Cowboys were winless at this point in the 1980 season after 5 games played. The franchise was somewhat of a laughingstock in the league as their new owner and general manager Jerry Jones and rookie head coach Jimmy Johnson looked like they got into something a little bit too much for them to handle. They really looked foolish when they traded their star player, but the compensation of basically 11 players for one? That seemed like an offer too good to pass on. According to an ESPN article on the trade, the deal went something like this. The Cowboys would give the Vikings Walker their 3rd and 10th round picks in 1990, and their 3rd pick in 1991. In return, the Vikings would send linebackers Jesse Solomon, David Howard, defensive end Alex Stewart, running back Darren Nelson, and cornerback Isaac Holt to Minnesota's and the 1st, 2nd, and 6th round picks in 1990. The real craftiness started, though, when Nelson refused to report to Dallas, so he was traded to the San Diego Chargers and became 2 draft picks, a 6th rounder in 1990 and a 2nd rounder in 1991. The Cowboys selected Emmitt Smith out of Florida in the 1st round of the 1990 draft, defensive tackle Russell Maryland of Miami in the 1st round of 1991, cornerback Kevin Smith of Texas A&M in the 1st round of 1992, safety Darren Woodson of Arizona State in the 2nd round of 92, and cornerback Clayton Holmes of Carson Newman in the 3rd round of 1992. A dynasty had been born in Dallas with the jumpstart of trading one star player and the clever draft maneuvering of the Cowboys brass. The Vikings did make the playoffs in 1989 with Walker running the ball, only to get knocked out by a very good San Francisco team. And the Cowboys, well, they went to the Super Bowl many times with that cast of characters. Next, we go to October 12, 1991. Mike Lurch of Princeton ties an NCAA record with 370 receiving yards along with 4 touchdowns to lead the then unbeaten Princeton Tigers to a 59-37 victory over the winless Brown University. 370 receiving yards in one game. Wow, that is quite a game. That same day, in 1991, Doug Flutie, formerly of Boston College and now with the BC Lions, set a CFL passing record of 582 yards despite losing to the Edmonton Eskimos 45-38 in overtime. What was going on in the air in North America in 1991 on August 12th? A lot of passing, a lot of catching happened that day. And we go a year later, October 12, 1992, the Washington Redskins wideout Art Monk sets an NFL record with his 820th reception. Monk did it in grand style, too, as the game was played on Monday Night Football's stage. With all of the nation watching, the Redskins had their way with the opponents that night, the Denver Broncos, as they won handedly 34-3. It was a 10-yard reception from Redskin quarterback Mark Rypien in the 4th quarter when Monk passed Steve Largent for the most career receptions in NFL history. Monk finished the game with 7 receptions for 69 yards. For his career, Monk totaled 840 catches, 788 which came in his 14 seasons as a Washington Redskin. October 12th, the year 2019, the University of South Carolina knocked off the 3rd-ranked University of Georgia by a score of 20-17. We hope right now, while you're taking this little break from our football history, that you'll hit the subscribe button on this podcast player, and also that you'll email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And now a couple words from one of my buddies at the sportshistorynetwork.com.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
Now let's blow out the candles and have some cake, because we're going to celebrate some birthdays of Hall of Famers right now for October 12th. And we'll start off October 12th, 1878, with Truxton Hare, a guard from the University of Pennsylvania. Hare played on the Penn Quakers football team from 1897 through 1900 and was the first of four players to have been a four-year All-American per PennAthletics.com. Even more amazing, that Hare played every minute of all 54 games in which he competed, as the rules of his playing era said that a player could not return into the game after being substituted. Truxton was a big dude when he played too, as he stood for 6'2" and weighed 208 pounds for that day. Truxton was quite an accomplished athlete even without football. According to the Olympic.org website, Hare won a silver medal in the 1900 Olympic Games in Paris for the hammer throw competition and a bronze medal in the 1904 Olympics played in St. Louis. Truxton Hare was selected to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1951. Rip through those calendar pages and we'll go to October 12th, 1921, South Bend, Indiana. Les Horvath was born. Don't let his birthplace fool you into thinking Les was with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. No, he was not. It might get a little bit clearer when you find out that after his family moved, he spent most of his childhood in Parma, Ohio. Les attended and played for Ohio State University as a halfback and quarterback. He earned a football letters in 1940, 41, 42, and 1944. He wasn't eligible to play football in 1943 as he attended dental school that year. The 1944 season, though, was special as eligibility-wise for Horvath, as most players of that era only played three seasons of eligibility, but the NCAA granted an extra season to athletes due to World War II and a lack of athletes in college. OSU head coach Carol Widows asked Horvath to return to the team for the fourth year, and due to the demands of dental school, Horvath was initially reluctant to play but agreed to do so after Widows promised Horvath that he would be flown to all the games and wouldn't have to practice as much as the other players. Ohio State went a perfect 9-0, won the Big Ten, and ranked number 2 nationally. Horvath rushed for 905 yards and passed for 345, and he ranked second in the nation in rushing, third in total offense, and was the unanimous All-American and most valuable player in the Big Ten, and he won the Heisman Trophy. Yes, Les was the very first Buckeye to ever win the Heisman Trophy in 1944, as according to the Heisman.com website. The National Football Foundation invited Les Horvath into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1969. Les graduated dental school in 1947, and then the NFL came calling as he was drafted by the LA Rams and played there and with the Cleveland Browns before hanging up his helmet to practice dentistry in the LA area. Next, we'll go to October 12th, 1970, and we'll start off in Thomasville, Georgia, where Charlie Ward, the quarterback from Florida State, was born. Charlie may be the most decorated college quarterback of all time, according to Heisman.com, as he won every award he was eligible for in the 1993 season. For starters, he won the Heisman Trophy, and he led his Florida State Seminoles to the national championship title. Ward also was named the Walter Camp Player of the Year and a Toyota Leader of the Year. Charlie Ward filled his trophy case even more by taking home the Davey O'Brien and the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Awards and was the second college football player ever to win the Sullivan Award given annually to the nation's top amateur athlete. His 1993 numbers were off the charts, completing 69.5% of all his passes for over 3,000 yards and 27 touchdowns with only 4 interceptions. Football was not where it stopped, though, as the super athlete also guided the FSU basketball teams to 3 NCAA tournaments, and Charlie became the first ever Heisman winner to play in the NBA. Ward ended up staying in the NBA for 12 seasons and never put on an NFL uniform. Charlie Ward entered into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2006. Well, we hope you learned something and that you enjoyed this podcast of the Pigskin Dispatch Daily History. And if you did, please drop us a line and email at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Also, you can visit us at pigskindispatch.com or go to the Sports History Network and catch all our podcasts or any of your podcast providers you have. So till next time, everybody, have a great football day.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.